This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about something a little different today, but certainly an area where there's opportunity for some serious gains. And we always talk about diversifying your portfolio. Well, there's an asset class that is completely different than most others, and that's comic books and collectibles. And by the way, comic books hold up pretty well when other asset classes are tanking. And that's why it brings a unique level of diversification to your portfolio. And that's what we're talking about today. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking comics today, so let's bring on Vincent Zerzolo, president of MetropolisComics.com and ComicConnect.com in New York. And by the way, they're the world's largest dealer for vintage comic books. Vincent, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks so much for having me today. It's always a lot of fun being here.
Before we get into investing in comics and all that good stuff, you're going to be in Chicago this weekend. So that's where I wanted to start. Talk about the big event that's coming up end of the week here, opportunity to see quality big-time comics firsthand.
I'll be flying into Chicago and setting up at C2E2 at McCormick Place. This is a great convention. It runs from Friday, April 26th through the 28th, and it's filled with tons of great comic books, original comic art, pop culture memorabilia, and comic artists and publishers. And it has a little bit of something for everybody. You don't necessarily have to just be into comic books to go there, and you can buy pop culture stuff like T-shirts and all types of apparel. It's a blast, and the cosplayers alone make it a real fun time, too. People come dressed up in really great costumes, and so you have this beautiful gathering of people who enjoy pop culture, and it's based around the nucleus that is the American comic book.
An event like this gives people an opportunity to see some really, really good stuff firsthand. What are some of the highlights that we could see at a big event like the one that's coming up?
Well, if you come by the Metropolis Comic Connect booth, you can see first appearances of Spider-Man and Batman and Superman and Thor and Iron Man and Fantastic Four and Flash and the Avengers and X-Men and, gosh, Justice League, all these great superhero characters. And we should have one of the most incredibly highly sought-after comic books in history, the first appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1 from 1938. This will also be on display. We're going to be auctioning it off in our Comic Connect event auction, which starts June 3rd and ends the week of June 24th through the 26th. So very exciting. And we'll have original comic art. Oh, more importantly than all that, I'll be there buying and selling, taking consignments for our next auction, and it'll be a lot of fun. So if you have any great comic books or any type of pop culture collectibles, please come on down and visit our booth, and it'll be great.
Now, see, a lot of investors listen to the Gaines podcast. We talk about NFTs. We talk about stocks, trading, you name it. And I bet you a lot of people would be surprised on the asset class we call comic books. Adds a degree of diversification to a portfolio because it's a lot different than a lot of the other asset classes that we, you know, from, you know, gold to real estate to stocks, bonds, commodities, and so forth. One asset class is comic books, and I want you to just kind of delve into that, and has a pretty successful track record, by the way, as well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you couldn't have said it better. It's perfectly stated. One of the interesting things for me is as comic books and original comic art and pop culture memorabilia are at the center of my investment portfolio, I've had to diversify out of these non-traditional things into other things to keep my portfolio about what I consider balanced. You know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. So while the vast majority of, I believe, my wealth has been grown in the comic book and comic art market, I've also tried to invest in real estate and stocks and even crypto. One place I haven't gotten into is precious metals, and I wish I had started that a long time ago because I do think there's value in that. But having said all those things, my point in bringing this up is that you can reverse engineer this. So, you know, just because I started in comics and other pop culture memorabilia doesn't mean you had to have started there. You can start in what you know and then move into these asset classes. I think one of the best things about comic books and comic art is that you have a very rabid fan base, and these people are passionate about their collectibles. And I've been doing this for close to 40 years now. And what I've noticed is over those 40 years, you've seen a constant appreciation. And of course, there are peaks and valleys, and there are plateaus from time to time. But in the long run, I do see the values increasing and increasing. I can give you some examples. An Amazing Fantasy 15, if you purchased a 9.4 copy, which is a 9.4 is on a scale of 1 to 10, and once it gets above 9, you go 9.2, 9.4, 9.6, 9.8, 9.9, and then 10. And the highest graded copy is a 9.6. But if you bought a 9.4 copy in the year 2000, you probably paid around $115,000 for it, and that same book is probably worth $2 million now.
Yeah, and not a bad return, right?
Yeah, and that's the first appearance of Spider-Man, Amazing Fantasy 15 from 1962. You can also do the same thing with a lot of other classic superhero characters. I've seen the prices just escalate over the decades. What I don't want to do is I don't want to paint a picture where people say, oh, I can't lose in comic books. You know, you have to be willing to hold comic books and collectibles. I think they're mid to long-term holds, and you know, 3 to 5 years at least, to see some real appreciation. But I will give you a picture of, you know, the plus sides are obviously the longer you hold it, the more chance you have of it appreciating. But on the negative side, so a lot of people bought a lot of modern comic books and comic books from, let's say, the 1970s to the present time. They bought them in the years during the pandemic in 2020, 21, and 22. And what happened on those time periods, most of that material has dropped off in value. And the reason it has is because it's relatively common. And even though it has great value, the number of people who went back to work or don't have their stimulus money anymore or, you know, noticed inflation and realized they had to move their funds into, you know, more practical things, have not been able to collect in the same type of fast-paced manner that they were in those years. And because of that, the market has fallen on those types of books. So I don't want to paint a picture that this is all roses. You know, you have to study the market. You have to understand it. You have to be willing to hold. And you have to realize this is a real market. I remember years ago, I was on Fox Business, and I was on a roundtable discussion with two financial guys. And they were trying to poo-poo comic books, and they were basically saying, I wouldn't know the difference between Captain Crunch and Captain America. How the heck could I compete against Vincent, you know, buying comic books? And I got up there and I said, well, in that case, you know, how do I know about any type of stock, and how could I compete against you? I said, it's the same thing. You educate yourself. It's very simple. And comic books, the marketplace is a much more transparent place than trying to figure out what a Fortune 500 company is going to do, you know, in the next 6 months or a quarter. And you could have one person in that company that could ruin the whole thing, and the stock could tank. Whereas nobody's going to stop loving Spider-Man. Nobody's going to stop loving Batman. Nobody's going to stop loving Superman. So you have a much more solid type of foundation, I believe, for comic books than you would even in the stock market. But again, it's all about educating yourself and it's understanding what you're getting yourself into.
It's also what you buy. With collectibles especially, and I was thinking about baseball cards and comic books and vintage toys. There's a lot of the stuff out there, but the really, really good stuff does well and holds its value. And you kind of spoke to that with comics, those copies with historical significance. They're really the sweet spot, and you see them grow steadily throughout time. And then there's a ton of other stuff. And I guess the big question, Vincent, is, you know, how do you find the good stuff, so to speak?
Well, the best way to do it is to find reputable people to deal with. We have our company, Metropolis, which is the world's largest dealership for vintage comic books. We have a team of experts here that can help. And we have also Comic Connect, our auction house, which is one of the biggest auction houses in the world for comic books and collectibles. And you can talk to our people here, our team, our advisors. You can learn more about the comic market. You can research sold items in our sold section of our website to see what the trends are like. And you can bid in the auctions. You can buy privately or through our website. So there's a lot of ways to do this, and the ways to educate yourself. It's a very transparent market in many ways in terms of being able to look online for pricing, trends and values, and you do all that, and you educate yourself, and you find out, you know, what characters do you like? What do you believe in? You know, some people collect horror comic books from the 1950s. Others collect superhero books from the 1940s. Other people collect superhero comic books from the 1960s. And it takes all different types of people from all different types of walks of life to make up this marketplace. And, you know, It's finding something you're passionate about. If you've never read a comic book in your life and you have no interest in comic book characters, and you're doing strictly from a financial perspective, you will probably do a much more sterile type of look at the market. Like, I know for me, I buy what I love. And I understand the marketplace. So it's okay when I buy something that I love. And sometimes I buy stuff that appreciates very quickly, and sometimes I buy stuff that doesn't, and sometimes it stays the same way for years. And it's for me though, at the end of the day, I have a great comic book and I'm happy with it. Some people are going to strictly look at this as from a dollars and cents perspective, and when you do that, you really have got to figure out, can I hold this for 3 to 5 years, and how will I know when it's time to sell it? And, you know, you got to feel your way through it and understand and study the marketplace.
So say you have somebody in our audience, you know, they have $25,000, $50,000, maybe $100,000. They want to diversify the portfolio a little bit. They don't know a ton about comics. You know, questions that pop up is, well, how am I even going to store this? And what am I going to do with $100,000 worth of comics? And how can I keep them safe? And then how do I monitor them and decide when it's going to be a good time to sell, and which ones do I buy? And they're obviously going to go to an expert like you, but what's the advice for the, somebody who's just looking to diversify and maybe throw 25, 50, maybe 100 grand in to get started in comics? What's your advice for that type of person?
So first of all, in terms of storage, you would keep them in a safe or safe deposit box, or you can keep them if you have if you feel comfortable having them in your house. Keep them in a box in a cool, dark room, closet, and make sure you have an insurance policy on them. And that's something you'd have to do with any type of collectible or piece of art or anything like that. So once you have that, you've got that part of this set. You should then see what you're going to buy. You got to figure out what you're going to buy. So if I were advising somebody who is looking to get in right now, which I think is a great time to buy, because I think that the prices that things have depreciated from the heights of the pandemic make this a great time to buy comic books, because I personally believe that, based on my almost 40 years of experience in the comic book business, that the trend will move back up in the next few years. So I would say, if I was going to tell somebody, you know, who didn't care what kind of comics they were buying, what to buy, I would say buy Silver Age Marvel Keys. And that's 1960s Marvel comic book number ones and first appearances. And the reason I say that is because it's the most popular part of the marketplace. It's the most heavily traded in part of the vintage marketplace. And there's always demand. And just to give you an idea of the characters I'm talking about that are Marvel characters, you're talking about Spider-Man, Thor, Hulk, Daredevil, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Avengers, X-Men. So you have this great stable of characters, Ant-Man. I'm trying to think, what else am I missing? I'm sure there's a couple more. And you basically could, people stockpile the first issues of these, and you could get them in varying grades and put them into your portfolio, your comic book portfolio. And if you only have $25,000, you're probably going to be buying very low grade copies to get a good mix. If you have $100,000, you could probably, you know, you can get a bunch of them. And again, just depending on the grade range you want, there's a buyer for every different grade range. There are certain things you want to be careful of as a beginning collector, investor. You probably want to stay away from restored comic books, which that is a healthy part of the market, but it's a little bit more complex. And you also might want to stay away from brittle comic books. When brittle means when paper gets very dry, it gets brittle. And that usually, those usually sell for a lower percentage as well. But that, you know, again, people who understand the marketplace buy those comic books too, because they can afford them. But I think for a new guy, a new girl, a new woman to be investing in that, you want to basically stay with the time-tested, tried-and-true, blue-chip type collectible comic books.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation about investing in comic books in just a minute. We've got to take a quick break. But hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and click those notifications so you know when a new Gaines episode drops. We drop Gaines episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, we're back talking investing in comic books with Vincent Zerzolo, president of MetropolisComics.com and ComicConnect.com in New York City. By the way, his firm is the world's largest dealer for vintage comic books. So, Vincent, being in the world of investing, I've often thought, and I don't know if it exists, but I think you're your business would be the perfect place to start something like this is a comic book ETF or comic book investment fund. Is that something you offer? Is that something that it should be in the works, right?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting concept. I have not gotten involved in that. I have been approached, you know, for years about doing fractional comic books, and we used to sell to all the fractional companies. Most of them have dried up or gone out of business. I think Rally is still out there, and maybe a few others.
Right.
But so fractional was very popular. I don't know how well it's going right now, but then there's also you have an ETF type of idea. It's an interesting idea. I have not broached that topic yet, and I think it could work. It definitely could work, but I will probably stick with the traditional stuff.
And the reason why I was thinking about that, that's how somebody like me can get access to investing in a Cezanne painting. They do it in other areas. Now, there's also, besides physical comic books, And we'll ask you about the one that you created here in a second. But then there is, for the investors out there, the Gaines listeners who like crypto, NFTs, appreciate blockchain technology, there's an NFT component to comics as well. And I wanted you to just kind of talk about that.
Sure. So I learned about this over the last couple of years. I was at a Gary Vaynerchuk convention in Minneapolis, VCon, and I was there as the representative for the comic book community. We had our booth filled with vintage comic books, and I had a gentleman walk up to me. He goes, he saw a Daredevil number one. He said, oh, I have one of those. I said, great. So he opens up his phone, and I think he's going to show me a photo of his Daredevil number one. Instead, he opens the VV app, and he says, yeah, I have this one right here. And I go, oh, wow. I said, what is that? He says, this is my digital copy of Daredevil 1. And he was so proud and excited about it. And I sat there and I was like, this is really fascinating. And then same thing happened to me at New York Comic Con. Another gentleman said, oh, yeah, I have like $250,000 worth of comics. I was great. And he pulled open his phone and showed me his VV app. And I was like, this is incredible. I didn't realize how how many affluent collectors invested in digitally. So, you know, it took me a little bit of time to wrap my head around it, but I will say there's a couple of things that I think are interesting about digital collectibles, which are basically NFTs. They're made on the blockchain. But one of them is, you know, if you're overseas and you have to worry about shipping, you don't have to worry about that anymore with a digital comic book. If you live in a small apartment, you don't have to worry about where do I put all these boxes of comic books. So you have these advantages, and there's also no expensive shipping costs. So it's really fascinating, and people are incredibly passionate about digital collectibles. So about 2 years ago, I was in a meeting with one of my clients who happens to be one of the owners of Vivi. And we started chatting, and I was like, huh, this is really interesting. And I mentioned that I'm making a comic book called The Addiction. And I gave him the pitch, and he loved the comic book. And I said, would you want to do a drop on Vivi for this comic book? And he said, absolutely. And I said, are you sure? Because once I shake your hand, to me, that's a done deal. And he started laughing, and we did shake hands. And during this past October, New York Comic Con, we launched the physical preview variant for the issue number one. We had covers by artists like Art Germ and Aletha Martinez and David Mack and Andres Labrada. And we had a line around the corner, 40-foot line for about 4 or 5 hours right in the beginning of the show. And at noon, we did our digital drop on Vivi. We were the first digital comic book, so physical as well as digital.
Wow.
And we sold, there were 7,500 copies, and we sold out all 7,500 copies in 1 hour. And that was at $7 a piece. Just to give you perspective, a brand new comic book costs somewhere between $3.99 and $4.99. And within days, the different covers will have different levels of rarity out of the 7,500, and the ultra rares, being the toughest ones, are the ones that went up on the marketplace very soon after, and were selling for, at the height, I believe, about $100, $120 a piece. Literally, they had just been on the market, you know, at the IPO of $7 or $6.99 to be exact.
Right.
So, and if you go onto the VV app right now, you have to remember there's 7,500 copies of number one. There's only people are only selling about 122, and the same thing with the number two issue. There's not that many on the marketplace. But what I'm trying to get at with that is, people are very passionate and believe in these as investment vehicles for the future. I have been, you know, very fortunate to have been embraced by the VV community in the way that I have. We've also gone through great lengths to make sure that we're in touch with them and that they're one of, you know, the prime focal area for us in terms of our fan base is the digital collector. So we've taken a very different route, a very different approach than most comic book, independent comic book publishers. And so it's been incredibly exciting. And we just dropped the issue number two like a week and a half ago, and all 5,000 copies sold out in 34 minutes. So that's really exciting for us. And it's been a blast. I love creating, and I love the fact that we've created something that touches people, and it makes me happy. It's really good.
You know, we talk about people's collections. Say you are eyeing a stock, and you want to deploy some fresh money into that stock. You're not really interested in comics, but you have a collection. So the thing to do is find a legitimate dealer, and then you could potentially raise capital by selling a collection off, and then you can deploy that cash to anything you want. So you had mentioned on the onset of this conversation, too, buying is a huge part of what you do. If somebody's sitting on a collection, maybe they inherited it, or, you know, have come across a collection, they can go ahead and cash that in and then maybe, you know, do whatever they want with the money. Talk about that as well, Vincent.
Yeah, so oftentimes we get people who want to sell their comic book collection for a variety of different reasons. They could be putting one of their kids through college. They could, unfortunately, be going through a divorce. They could say, hey, you know what, I have this opportunity in real estate, so I want to sell my comic books to use that to buy a piece of real estate or stocks or, you know, 100 different things. So we get that. That happens oftentimes with us when people are shifting their interests or looking for different opportunities. So what we end up doing is we either buy the collections outright, which we offer two options. We can buy them outright. We can take them on consignment. And our consignment has several options as well. You can consign it for one of our auctions, or you can sign it fixed price in our marketplace. So with all these things, you have different varying degrees of costs for a seller. So depending on the material, we pay anywhere from, oh gosh, we pay up to 100% of retail value if we think we can sell them for a little premium over that. But for quality material, we're usually at around, I'd say 75% and up for really quality material. And then for lower end material, it can be anywhere from 25% to, you know, 50%, somewhere there. And then you got the middle, which is like 50 to 70. So when you take into consideration, that's me writing a check out, and I have to then market those books and wait for however long it's going to take to sell them. Or you can consign through our auction sites, and we charge a very simple, for graded material, for CGC graded material, a 10% seller's commission. So you sell something for $100, you get 90. We also have an option where we charge a buyer's premium instead. And that's a little bit, you know, something some people like that. They don't want to be charged anything. They just want to have the buyer's premium in there. So we have a lot of different options for people, and they can call us anytime. We have an 800 number, 800-229-METRO. And we're happy to help and talk. And if you're buying, if you're selling, if you're trading, if you're thinking about buying, we have a great team of people here. They're very passionate about what they do and very knowledgeable, and that's important. So, yeah.
And then, of course, the website, you have two, MetropolisComics.com and ComicConnect.com. And then, Vincent, really quick, if you didn't get that number, what's the number people should call you?
That number again is 1-800-229-METRO. That number again, 1-800-229-METRO.
And of course, you're going to be in Chicago, so go down and meet Vincent firsthand at the show. And again, give the details this weekend.
It's called C2E2. It's at the McCormick Place in Chicago, and we'll be set up there this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 26th to 28th. Our booth number is 1427. That's 1427. And I'll be there with one of my employees, and we will be there to answer any questions, buy, sell, take consignments. If you know somebody with the collection, we give finder's fees. So there's a lot of different ways for us to work together.
And then what's a resource beyond your website, you know, MetropolisComics.com and ComicConnect.com, beyond the two websites, what's another resource for somebody to get their beak wet?
So there's a great site just to learn about pricing. It's called GPAnalysis.com, and it's a pay site. You have to pay to join, but they have tons of public information about sales through my auction house, through my fixed price sales, through competitors of mine, through eBay, and it's all accumulated there, and it's a great way to be able to see trends in the marketplace and learn about the comic market in terms of pricing. There's also, the name of it escapes me, but the Overstreet Price Guide also has an online service like that too. And you can find it if you just type in Overstreet Price Guide. You'll find it. And so there's a lot of different ways. And going to conventions and talking to dealers there and talking to other collectors, joining Facebook groups and going onto Instagram and following different people there. There's so many different ways to learn about the marketplace.
You know, the rise of the comic book character movie that we've seen over the last maybe 25, 30 years. It started with Batman and stuff like that in the 90s, but is just, I mean, next level. Everybody's involved. I mean, that's done a ton of good for the industry.
It absolutely has. And, you know, it definitely started, when I think of the first one, I guess I think of Superman with Christopher Reeve. But then you have Batman.
In the 70s, of course,
And then you have the Spider-Man movie, the X-Men movie. And it's still incredibly popular. You know what's funny? It's that people say, oh, there's superhero fatigue. And I don't really necessarily believe that that's true about superhero movies. I think people don't like bad movies, just like they don't like bad action films, and they don't like bad rom-coms, and they don't like bad dramas. There have been some not great superhero movies the last bunch of years. You know, they don't go set out to make bad movies. They try their best to make them. You know, sometimes it doesn't work. You can't appeal to everybody with what you're doing, and sometimes you don't make the best movie. And, you know, I'm not a skilled filmmaker, so I can only imagine how hard it is and all the moving parts that there are. It makes it difficult, but having said that, comic book movies in general have been incredibly popular and have had a definite positive impact, and television shows too, not just the movies, have had a definite positive impact on the value of comic books.
And in another area where it's gotten really good too is also video games. I mean, all the entertainment that has tapped into these comic book heroes is just been great, and with, you know, the advancement of media, it all looks so much better as well. So now we've covered a lot of ground here, but you know, as we wrap up our discussion on the Gains podcast, what's the takeaway, Vincent, and give us a final preview of the events coming ahead?
Well, we're really excited to be in Chicago. We love the fans out there, the customers, the cosplayers, everybody. It helps to just make it like just a fun time. And, you know, this is work, but it's also fun. And that's what we want people to enjoy themselves. So come on by our booth, booth 1427. Visit us. We'll be there all 3 days. Happy to talk comic books, original art, collectibles, anything you're interested in. We'll try to give you our best opinion on. If you want to sell something, we're there to buy. We'll give you a price quote. If you want to consign something, we'll take market on consignment. We have a great event auction starting on June 3rd. We're still taking consignments for it. We just got in an Action Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman. It's really exciting. We also got the first ever giant size X-Men number one. This is the first new team of X-Men with Wolverine and Colossus, Aurora, Thunderbird, Nightcrawler, and I think that's it. And Banshee maybe was in that one too. Yeah, and it's a CGC graded 9.9. The first time in 24 years that CGC has ever graded a 9.9 giant size X-Men number one. This book could break $250,000. It's just going to be exciting. So come on by the booth. You can check out some great stuff.
Yeah, go out there and check them out. Big thanks to Vincent Zerzolo, president of MetropolisComics.com. and ComicConnect.com in New York. By the way, they're the world's largest dealer for vintage comic books. All right, that's going to wrap up today's Gains podcast. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.